Marguerite Cager Scott grew up in St. Bernard Parish, just outside of New Orleans. But after she graduated from college, she moved to Connecticut and lived there for 40 years. She recently moved back to Louisiana to be near her grandkids, but she didn't want to live in St. Bernard, even though that's where she's from.
I don't know why. I just didn't want to live. There was no place I can visualize in St. Bernard Parish where I wanted to live. You see, we grew up in Fasanville, and there was no more Fasanville. I would have moved there.
This is a story about a place called Fasanville, which you've probably never heard of and which no longer exists. But you likely have heard of the Battle of New Orleans. This battle took place 200 years ago, a few miles downriver from New Orleans. In fact, the same spot Marguerite Cager Scott is from. The battle was fought on sugar plantations, including the Chalmette Plantation. It was between the United States, a young country at the time, around 30, and the British, the most powerful fighting force on the planet, who were still ticked off about the American Revolution, and who just defeated Napoleon. The British sailed their tremendous navy across the Atlantic, blockaded the entire East Coast, burned the White House, and set sail for New Orleans. Things did not look good. The British brought 90 ships to New Orleans, some of which were empty, so they could loot the city. And just to give you a sense of what the U.S. was up against, American forces had 7 boats. 7. And 6 of them were blown up or taken before the battle. If the United States had lost, the Louisiana Purchase, you know, roughly a quarter of the country, well, say goodbye to America as we know it.
Because it was stolen property. A lot of people don't realize that. They think that the Louisiana Purchase, we gave $15 million to France, and France gave us Louisiana. No. Louisiana was going to Spain.
If you say good morning to most of your neighbors rather than buenos dias, it's because we won the Battle of New Orleans. That's according to historian Ron Chapman, author of The Battle of New Orleans, But for a Piece of Wood. You see, Louisiana was a Spanish colony when Napoleon bought it for France. But he never paid Spain, which means he had no right to sell Louisiana to the United States. So if the British had taken New Orleans?
The British never accepted Napoleon's view of the world. So as far as they're concerned, this is still Spanish territory. So they intended to give it back to Spain.
Not only that. If the British had won, they would have controlled the Mississippi River, which means they would have controlled all the places dependent on the Mississippi. Basically, the entire interior of what we now call the U.S. Ohio, Colorado, Kentucky, Missouri, Minnesota, and on and on. The British wanted to put an end to this bothersome little America and keep it from growing. If the cash poor and young United States had lost, well, America would have been stuck.
But what are you going to do? You're going to have to buy it back. You're broke, right? This is going to be fun to watch.
Chapman says the whole manifest destiny thing, pioneers in Conestoga wagons settling all the way to the West Coast, that would never have happened if another country controlled the middle of the continent.
Think of the implications. It would have been a financial crisis to buy it back. If we didn't buy it back, Western expansion would have been over with. The implications of the Battle of New Orleans are amazing for the future of the United States.
So the Battle of New Orleans saved this country.
Saved the Union and allowed it to become a continental power.
And 150 years later, a community is still...
And 150 years later, a community was destroyed to commemorate that event.
I said this story was about a place called Fasanville, and that's what Chapman's referring to. The community destroyed to create a national park where the Battle of New Orleans was fought. Fasanville was about 30 families, all African American. They lived on one side of an unpaved road, which ended at the Mississippi River. Valerie Schick-Snyder grew up there.
It was a little land in between a national monument and a national cemetery.
That's the Chalmette National Cemetery and the Chalmette Monument. Fasanville was smack in the middle between them.
I mean, when we were children, we used to run up those stairs all the time.
Yep.
We used to pick pecans, play ball out there. It was fun place.
And the monument, too.
And
you had to run up and down that monument.
Yeah.
And you
weren't afraid to go. They had another house set back, which was the Mitchells. Then next was the Ballots. Then my aunt.
But I could walk down an imaginary road and point out just about where everybody lived, you know, because it's still embedded in my mind, you know. I knew it like I knew the back of my hand.
They had some cages, and Pierre's lived in the alley. And you go on.
I don't remember ducks. I
we had more
chickens.
Ducks than chickens. Dad had one or two chickens, but we had
I
duck
remember chickens. We chickens laid the eggs.
We didn't have any. We had duck eggs. Why y'all remember that?
I don't remember ever eating a duck egg.
Oh, my God. You ate plenty of them.
Well, we would hunt and fish. We fished because the river was right there. And then in the back of part of Fazanville, back by the railroad track, between the railroad track and over, we used to catch crawfish, and there was ponds back there.
Peter Pierre also grew up in Fazanville.
That night they would have dances. It would be outside sometimes. This was in the summertime. And the band was playing in the yard. People were dancing out on the ground, you know. Most of the time it was Father Domino's cousin, Freddie Domino. It was good. It was nice, clean, fun.
The village. I still miss the village.
I miss the village too.
I think about the village all the time.
Me too. I dream about the village
all the time.
Residents all called it the village.
But Fazanville was brought came about by ex-slaves. You know that.
That's right. 2 years after the Battle of New Orleans, the Chalmette plantation was subdivided and sold into smaller, separate tracts of land. This happened many times, and there was one long, skinny tract. In 1854, about 7 years before the Civil War, a man named Jean-Pierre Fazan bought it.
He was a man of color, and he had a son, I think. And his son sold partial land to former slaves. And that's how it all started.
This son was also named Jean-Pierre Fazan. He was a grocer in New Orleans. I'm told he loved the opera. When his father died, he inherited this slice of former sugar plantation. Monsieur Fazan was a free man of color, descended from both slaves and the elite planter class.
He was very well read. He was very highly educated, very polished. And he established this freedmen's colony after the war because he recognized that the freed slaves were in a very difficult transition.
Bill Hyland's cousins and dear friends were descendants of Jean-Pierre Fazan. Hyland is also the St. Bernard Parish historian. He says Fazanville
was a self-contained community. They were a very, very hard-working group of people. And they were a gigantic family.
You see, this is Fazanville. This is the actual survey. And these are the lots. There's 33 of them. I would hope that the sacrifice these people made would be acknowledged. You know, 150 years later, they too are victims of the Battle of New Orleans. There's just no way of getting around that. I mean, they lost everything.
The government did eminent domain on us in 64. They wanted to open the land up. With the battlefield and the cemetery, National Cemetery, could be all in one.
Three sisters, Miriam Cager Jones and Marguerite Cager Scott, who you met earlier, along with Amanda Cager Hodges, remember how their elders took the news.
They fought against it, they talked about it, blah, blah, blah. But there was nothing he could do because when the federal government, when they want that property, they're going to get it. But the problem was they were not giving the inhabitants of the property a fair price with the property, and that broke his heart.
Historian Ron Chapman.
The market price for a new home in St. Bernard was $16,500. Back in 1965, the residents of Fazanville got about $6,000 per family. So they were given one-third the market value of a home.
Are you kidding? A little black community trying to fight during those days. I mean, everything was segregated. They didn't even acknowledge you practically.
Right.
Today, I think back, and I don't know how they even lived through it.
Fazanville was up against big players, New Orleans preservationists, the Daughters of the War of 1812, the National Park Service, and others. They wanted the land to look like it did in 1815, like a battlefield. And they wanted that by 1965, in time for the sesquicentennial, which means 150-year anniversary, if you, like me, didn't know. So, in 1963, just 2 months before he was assassinated, President Kennedy signed the law that would create the park and obliterate Fazanville.
Options were offered to the community members who were still there.
April Antonellis works for the National Park Service, and she did her graduate research on Fazanville.
There are people who held out beyond the sesquicentennial.
My father refused to move and accept what the government was going to give him. So it was the last house back there. He held out until the end.
But eventually all of the properties were purchased. If you go to Shalmet Battlefield today, there's no houses left. You can't see them there.
I mean, I don't see anything they did with it. It's no more than weeds.
You know, we look at this.
Again, April Antonellis.
And it's not a choice that I personally would make today in 2014. And I don't think it's a choice that many people in 2014 would make to displace a community.
As we look back, you know, it's easy for us to say that perhaps we would have made a different decision. We would like to think that we're better, but we don't know.
Lance Hatton is the park superintendent today. He says learning about what happened in Fezzanville hurts his heart.
They were living in a special place. It's a hard irony what that resulted in.
The way that we render history in 1965 was just fundamentally different from today. In 1965, there is a dominant narrative. It's, if you will, the dead white man's story. It's a very simple rendering of a narrative. We're now 50 years beyond that. History has come a long way in 50 years, and certainly the National Park Service and how we share these histories have come a long way in 50 years.
These have to be the houses.
Miriam Cager Jones and I went for a drive around the Chalmette battlefield.
This is the back field because our yard, this is our yard back up in there. The backyard and Daddy's garden.
I'm shutting your door.
This is the street, that's the levee. You wanna take a walk? Our house was way down there.
Really?
Maybe, yeah, about three blocks down. From the monument, all of this from the monument to where the houses began was the pasture. Pasture for cows.
When you're here now, how does it feel now?
What I think now is how people were really cheated out of the rightful inheritance of money. I wish my children could have seen it, but they didn't see that.
Her father moved his family to Violet, Louisiana. Most Fezzanville families went to New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward, but others left Louisiana altogether. Looking at the park today, Miriam Cager Jones is not impressed with what happened to her family's land.
I still think it's a waste. What is a waste? Why is this here? What are you going to do with all this land? What is this here for? Why?
I think they want it to look like it did when the battle was fought.
Well, they have reenactments. Now, I've never been to one, though. But they do have reenactments.
I mean, that's what they're getting. They're trying to help us remember that
instead of what happened to the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean, if Fezzanville was still here, it'd be harder to imagine the battle.
We would watch from our house whenever they would have a lot of people over there. We would be, what are they doing over there? And we knew it was something to do with the War of 1812. My daddy taught us. That they were talking about the Battle of 1812 and how many blacks participated and all kinds of stuff. But we didn't care about that. It was the place where we grew up.
In the 50 or so years since Fezzanville became the Chalmette battlefield, the National Park Service has made efforts to include Fezzanville in the official history of the site. And each year, they invite some displaced residents to attend the battle's commemoration. A few of them take part. But when I asked Miriam Cager Jones if she's planning on attending the bicentennial events, she said she didn't think so. She's never received an invitation, and until I asked her, she didn't know anything about it. For WWNO and Cultural Vistas, I'm Eve Abrams.